Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is our 30th episode. Lots more to come. Messianic mindset. What does that mean? What does it mean to have a messianic mindset? Well, we've learned that having a messianic mindset means that you're always mindful of the need for Mashiach to come, and you're actively awaiting and anticipating. And we talked a lot about that in previous episodes, and we brought copious examples and proofs to frame this thesis that our mindfulness is a critical and key component of our mandated yearning for the coming of Mashiach. And then there was a monkey wrench thrown into this. And the monkey wrench was a Gemara that we found in Masechet Sanhedrin, a Gemara that analyzes verses of the Torah and comes to a surprising conclusion. Based on the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the poem of testimony of Hazinu, the Gemara's conclusion is that Mashiach will not come, Ein ben David ba, ad, until, shenisyashu menagula, until such time as we despair from even being redeemed. And as we learned in the previous episodes, this means that we'll be at such a low level, to quote Rashi, Sheyihiyu shfeilim lema'id, will really be at a low ebb. And because we'll be at such a low ebb, we'll say to ourselves, he's never coming. We've been waiting all this time. People will just despair of Mashiach ever coming. And then the Gemara says something really, really surprising. This is the meaning, this business of Mashiach won't come until we despair, of the words of Reb Zera, who said to a group of rabbis, the Misaskibe, who were talking about Mashiach, he said to them, B'matuso minaychu, b'ino minaychu, lo tisrach terachakua. I am pleading with you. He says, I beg you, don't delay the coming of Mashiach, he said. Because we learned that Shleisha, Boyin, Behesach, Hadas, three things come unexpectedly, unplanned, and they are Mashiach, Metzia, like a find, and finally, a scorpion. Nobody plans to get bitten by a scorpion at any particular time. Now, of course, it sounds like mindlessness on Mashiach is a very good idea. Reb Zera even seems to indicate that mindfulness can delay the coming of Mashiach. Don't talk about Mashiach, he said to these rabbis. In the past two episodes, we recognize the obvious impossibility of accepting Reb Zera's words at face value. I mean, the Gemara itself continues to talk about Mashiach for the next few pages. Doesn't seem to be following its own advice. It contradicts the spirit and word of our daily prayers. And it flies in the face of so many rulings, Torah rulings, about how we are required to yearn for, to anticipate, and to await. So the approach that we used over the last two episodes is kind of based on three words penned by Rashi. The Misaski Bey, who were involved with it, Rashi says, Leida matai yavo. They weren't talking about Mashiach per se. They weren't talking about what Mashiach's about and what kind of world Mashiach will bring in, why we should anticipate or yearn for Mashiach. They were trying to calculate when Mashiach is going to come. That's a problem. It's not our job to predict the future. It's our job to contribute to the acceleration of the coming of Mashiach by doing everything we can right now. So in this episode, I want to share with you a radically different idea. It's not my idea. Truth be told, I don't really know where this idea comes from. I don't have a source. So I found it in the Yalkut Biurim, the collection of explanations on the Gemara, in a recently printed edition of the Talmud called the Masifta Gemara. So over there on page Tzadik Zayin, which happens to be on Daf Tzadik Zayin, it's on page 97 in the Yalkut, it's on page 97 in the Gemara, there's an explanation. And it doesn't have a source, which kind of frustrates me because, you know, I'm a bookie guy. I like to have sources. I like to say, here's the source, and this is what it says. And I can't say that because I don't know what the source is. But these are reputable people. And I'm assuming that if they're saying, yesh misha tiritz, there are those who said, then it's a reputable approach. And what I found so interesting about this approach is that it kind of offers a certain measure or level of comfort. Because the Alter Rebbe is presumed or rumored to have wryly commented, "The Mashiach vosala evarten vet kemel nit kumen." The Mashiach everybody's waiting for, he's not coming. Und the Mashiach was vet kumen, wart for him kenen it. The Mashiach that is coming, nobody's waiting for him. And the Alter Rebbe was kind of like lamenting the fact that people aren't waiting for the Mashiach that Torah speaks of. What does that mean? We, the Jewish people, have suffered unimaginably. For nearly 2,000 years consecutively, we've had some bright moments and a little bit of respite, but we've been faced with unbelievable amounts of angst and persecution, hatred, and of course, mass murder. We're facing a wave of anti-Semitism in our very age, right now. It's been unprecedented for the last couple of decades. And people want Mashiach to come. They really do want Mashiach to come. And the Alter Rebbe says, nah, that's not Mashiach. Mashiach you're waiting for, he's never coming. Mashiach that's coming, he's coming. But that's not the one you waited for. What does that even mean? The Mashiach that's coming is going to be different than the Mashiach we've been talking about in the Rambam. What, there's not going to be world peace and everybody isn't going to have everything he or she could possibly want. And it's not going to be a time in which all of us pursue a higher and loftier cause in life. What did the Alter Rebbe mean? Oh, and by the way, is it a problem? Is it a problem that our awaiting is kind of off? Is the fact that we have not lost our faith and continue to yearn and hope and pray for the coming of Mashiach every day, but maybe not fully understanding or grasping who Mashiach is that a problem? Is that delaying Mashiach? So listen to this fascinating thought. And I want to just tell you that the word is our behesach hadas. Behesach hadas. And the words behesach hadas could be interpreted as unexpectedly. That's like a broad or overarching kind of translation that's non-literal. It's a euphemistic translation. But if you want to talk about a literal translation, it means the diversion of one's mindfulness, diversion of one's attention. So Mashiach will come when we divert our attention, which of course sounds like we shouldn't be thinking about Mashiach, and that's impossible. But why do we use that verbiage? So here is a novel explanation. So we have, in the past two episodes, we approached it one way. We're now going to approach it a very different way. And like I said, it offers us a little bit of comfort and even inspiration. So whoever this is that the Alkut Biurim is quoting, he says, why don't you take a look in the Rambam? said, okay, I can do that. So if you take a look in the Rambam, the laws of kings, this is the 12th chapter, the fourth halacha, fourth section. And by the way, we are going to complete our study of these chapters of Rambam. We got up to halacha Dalad, the fourth paragraph of the 11th chapter. But we're making our way through the subjects. We have lots of episodes. So there, in the 12th chapter, the Rambam says, Lo nita'avu chachamim v'hanevi'im yimot ha-mashiach. The wise, the sages, the prophetically inclined, did not await and yearn for the coming of Mashiach. And then, excuse me. In some of the old Yemenite manuscripts, the word lo doesn't appear. It starts out with the word, nit avu chachamim. They yearned for. Why though? What were they yearning for? Says the Rambam, loy kadesha yishlutu al kala oilam. Not so that they might have dominion. Loy kadesha yirdu bagoyim. Not so that the Jewish people would be uber alles and asserting our control. Libichdesha yinaso aysanam. Not so that we'll be feted or put on a pedestal or treated specially. And not to gorge on delicious foods and have a good time. That's not what Mashiach's about. What is Mashiach about? Says the Rambam, so that we be free to engage and involve ourselves in the study of Torah and in the pursuit of wisdom. We will have nobody getting in the way. There will be no obstruction in our Yiddishkeit. And the Rambam says this is in order to merit Chai Olam Haba, eternity, as I explained to you in the laws of Tshuva. What does the Rambam say in Hilchos Tshuva? Excuse me. In the ninth chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, in Halacha Beis, the Rambam says, "Umipnei zeh hisavu kol Yisrael." And this is the reason why. And here he doesn't say the prophetically inclined or the wise. Here he says, "Kol Yisrael, all of Israel." Nevi'ehem, v'chachameihem, their prophets and their sages. This is what they so desired. Yemesa Mashiach. Why? Kedei shiyanuchu malchos harisho sheina manachas lehen lasik b'teiru v'mitzvahs. So they might have respite from the evil regime that doesn't allow them to properly occupy themselves in Torah and mitzvahs. V'yimtzu lehem argoya. We will find tranquility. Ve'yar be'bechochma, we will wax and grow in wisdom. Kedei sheyizkeh l'chayei olam haba. So this is what the sages yearned for. This is what they were thinking about. And the fact that they didn't have these things bothered them terribly. So they yearn for the coming of Mashiach. The Rambam says this not once, but twice. And fascinatingly, in Hilchos Tshuva, he doesn't just talk about Chachomim and Nevi'im. He says, Kol Yisrael, the entirety, the nation of Israel, seeks closeness with Hashem. And here, my dear friends, is the big problem. People are faced with financial ruination. They say, Oy, I need Mashiach. No, they actually need to win the lottery. People are faced with debilitating illness. Rachmana litzlan, heaven forfend. They say, Oy, we need Mashiach. No, they just need a miraculous cure. People will lose a loved one under the most tragic of circumstances, and the family is shattered, and their hearts are broken in 1,000 pieces. And they say, Oy, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we need Mashiach. No, you don't need Mashiach. All you need is that tragedy shouldn't happen. For tragedies not to happen, for terrorists not to kill innocent people, you don't need Mashiach. You need a normal world. A normal world, that's all. It's not the Mashiach world. For this you need the coming of Mashiach. Hashem should bring us a world that's normal, where people aren't killed for being Jewish, as they are in Israel, Rachmana Litzlan, almost every day of the last few weeks. Heaven forfend. So what if there's no anti-Semites? Imagine that. Don't get too excited. I don't think it's happening. But imagine that. No anti-Semites. Everybody's respectful. They don't love the Jews any more than they love the Phoenicians. I don't know, whatever. It's like, we're just like everybody else. Imagine that. We would get afforded the same dignity, the same respect that anybody else gets. And everybody made a living. The economy's booming. And nobody's sick. The scientific advances have uncovered amazing new fields to solve all the illnesses. Imagine that. It's not inconceivable. And people are getting along, and they're living nicely. Decent people have what they need. Do you still want Mashiach? Do you still say, oi, we need Mashiach? I'm going to tell you that tragically and sadly, it's probably 999 out of 1,000 will look at you like you're crazy. What do you need Mashiach for? A colleague of mine told me that he bumped into a rabbi who comes from a very non-Chabad background, just at the beginning of COVID. And the rabbi looks at my friend, my colleague, and he says to him, you know, now I agree, we taka need Mashiach. And I heard that I wanted to cry. Well, you need Mashiach because there's COVID? You need a cure when there's COVID. You don't need Mashiach. Maybe this is what the Alter Rebbe meant when he said, the Mashiach that everybody's waiting for is never coming. What's everybody waiting for? Miraculous deliverance. Everybody's waiting for a big fat check in the mail. Everybody's waiting for the anti-Semites to disappear. Everybody's waiting for the end of illness and suffering and sadness. Yes, when Mashiach will come, these things will happen, but that's not what Mashiach is coming for. This is the 30th episode. Very early on in this series, we talked at length about the concept that Mashiach's thrust is Shleimus HaTorah VaHaMitzvah, perfection in our Yiddishkeit relationship with Hashem. The Rambam speaks here in Hilchos Tshuva and in Hilchos Malachim about our ability to connect to God fully. And we connect to God fully when we are able to utilize every single opportunity. We simply don't have so many of those opportunities now. So the currency of our relationship is very limited. The bandwidth is kind of restricted to the few areas that we're able to perform mitzvahs. And even those mitzvahs cannot be fulfilled in their fullest sense. So your Wi-Fi is on 5%. No, you don't have a clear picture, and you don't even have a clear sound. You're getting the transmission, but it's, let's just say, not high definition. And then, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be at 90. Everything's going to be full throttle. Everything's going to be fantastic. Our relationship with Hashem, comprising of 613 fiber optics, are all going to be live. And our bandwidth is going to be through the roof. We're going to have this amazing connection and feel this closeness to Hashem. In other words, a fundamental essence of Mashiach's coming is complete, intact perfection within Torah relationship with Hashem. And so, according to this explanation, and I don't know where it's from, according to this explanation, he says, if we hammer this all the time, if this the rabbis are talking about this, you see a group of people and say, oh, we need Mashiach, and say, stop, that's Mashiach. That's not Mashiach. Mashiach is learning Torah. Mashiach is performing mitzvahs. And people go, that's Mashiach? I'm not sure I want the Mashiach so badly. How do I know we don't want Mashiach so badly? When Mashiach comes, we will know God. We'll know God. But we can't know God now. Well, that's not exactly true. Teirus HaChassidus has opened for us the hallways of knowledge of Hashem in ways previously unimaginable. You don't have to be a great Kabbalist. You don't have to be super sacred or pious. Every single person can know God, can have a profound understanding of divinity. Not on the level that we'll have when Mashiach comes, but a heck of a lot more than almost all of us have right now. How many of us are yearning for knowledge of Hashem to the point that we utilize every free moment to deepen that knowledge? That's just probably nobody. Well, if you're yearning for knowledge of Hashem, I understand why you're yearning for Mashiach. But if you're not yearning for knowledge of Hashem, then for heaven's sake, why are you yearning for Mashiach? It doesn't add up. If you're yearning for a relationship with God, why are you doing things which get in the way of that relationship? If you're a person who yearns for Mashiach, so you're waiting for the essence of our Yiddishkeit to go on fire, so why aren't you involved in your Yiddishkeit 100% now? It's like an oxymoron, or almost it's a contradiction. The kind of lives the vast, overwhelming majority of us live fly in the face of yearning for that kind of era. So Reb Zeder heard tzaddikim talking like this. And he said to them, he said, "B'matusa minaychu," he said, "I'm pleading with you," he says, don't, I'm asking you, he says, "Lo tarachakua." He says, if you're going to talk about Mashiach only in these terms, then nobody's going to want Mashiach. People are just going to despair of Mashiach altogether. So he says, Hesach Hadas, and brings in a footnote here. What does Hesach Hadas mean? He says, when a person is able to grasp the profoundest elements of divinity and of creation and of meaning, it's called a bar das. When a person understands what to ask for, you say, this person has das, this person has knowledge, he has a profound understanding of what's actually meaningful in life. How many of us pray for things that are foolish and ignore the things that are really important? We're missing das. And das, of course, as Chassidus explains, it means to be connected fully. Like ha'odom, yoda es chava, when Adam and Eve are intimate, it's called das, it's called knowledge. This kind of being very much connected to a subject, very much focused on something to the point that it's personalized, it's your thing. So what Reb Zeder was saying, that you're going to need a little bit of Hesach Hadas. You're going to need to divert your attention from such lofty ideals and aspirations. And you have to pay attention to ordinary, everyday things, because that's what people are. And if we only talk about Mashiach on the highest levels, if we only aspire for the deepest and profoundest delights of life, which have nothing to do with the kind of things that interest and catch the attention for the vast overwhelming majority of us, terachakua, then people will indeed not yearn for Mashiach. And that delays the coming of Mashiach. So this is kind of comforting. It's comforting because if this is accurate and if it's reputable, what it's telling us is that even if we yearn for Mashiach in a way that's not fully authentic, even if our yearning is somewhat imaginatory, even if it isn't the highest level and the essence of what Mashiach really is, even if the Mashiach we're waiting for is not the Mashiach that's coming, at least we're yearning for Mashiach. And by diverting our attention from that loftiest, highest rung of spiritual pursuit, perhaps more of us will yearn for and pray for and demand and hope and await the coming of Mashiach. And you know what? Ultimately, if each of us could want, could yearn, could desire, could await Mashiach for any reason, but at least await and look for a redeemed and a messianic future, then that itself serves to accelerate the process of Mashiach. I'll only conclude by telling you, I think the only difficulty I have with this is, at the end of the day, the Rebbe clearly told us that learning about Mashiach will enhance our level of aspiration. That if we know what this is about, we'll actually yearn for it more so. Because when you learn about something and think about something, it becomes a part of your very existence. And perhaps it's not a contradiction. Perhaps on one hand, when people are yearning and crying for Mashiach, it should be encouraged. And at least we're thinking about Mashiach. It's not a bad thing. And it's not a contradiction to immerse yourself in the subject so that, at least intellectually, we should understand what we're yearning for. And as one mentor of mine once put it, everybody should always think of this. As good can be, as wonderful might be imagined, when Mashiach comes, it'll be far, far better. May we finally be zeuche to the coming of Mashiach. Thank you so much for joining. Have a beautiful evening.